So first of all, then QPR has a cup draw. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's one of those. Could have been better, could have been worse. Not at home, which we'd have liked to be, but Premier League team away from home. Trek again for the supporters, but it's quite exciting.
And all of those memories of last year and going to Aston Villa, I suppose, in some respects, start to flood back because there are similarities.
Yes, they are. There are, and I think QPR are in a similar position. Their priority will be staying in the Premier League. So hopefully we can capitalise on that. But we know from the Premier League, whichever squad they put out or whatever team they put out from their squad is going to be more than capable.
That's perhaps for another day. So, as we talk about Fleetwood, injury-wise, then it was O'Grady and Alcock as the main two following the last match. How are they today?
Yeah, both still doubtful for Saturday. Chris O'Grady's the better one. His calf's not got too much worse than last week, but it's just how much we risk him for Saturday in view of the fixtures coming up.
Has he been able to train much over the course of the past few days?
No, he's been with the physios, doing all that sort of stuff, the one-to-one fitness work, but he's not in too bad a situation, so we'll leave it until probably Saturday morning.
And is Alcock in a position where you hope he might be back, I suppose, before Christmas? Is not that long to go.
Yeah, you're never quite sure with backs. It's not like a normal muscle injury where with a groin or a hamstring, so we're hoping it won't be too long now.
Wallace and Davis are slightly more longer term than that, or have been. Where are they at in their rehabs?
Ben Davis is coming along well, pretty much on schedule. James Wallace a little bit behind, but we're going to do this where we're going to get him right as much as we can. We thought we'd done that a couple of months ago, but then once he gets involved in games, he starts picking up knocks. We needed to push him on and play him in a couple of games where ideally maybe he shouldn't have, but we'll try and leave him as long as we can this time into probably the new year.
Right. So I was going to say, in terms of timescale, so that was Wallace. What about Davis?
Yeah, he should be training again in a week or so. And then it's just with Christmas, there's not that many under 21 games now. I think we've got one just before Christmas to get his fitness back up. But Ben's a naturally fit lad as well, so it'd be nice to have him back involved, hopefully in a few weeks.
Cavalier played last weekend and has since played in the reserves. How close is he to being at least up for starting a game?
I don't think he's close to starting again for the first team, but I think he'll be in the 18, which is a big bonus, and I think he's come a long way to even get in the 18. So played 75 minutes for the under-21s the other night, felt a couple of things afterwards, which is inevitable as well. When you've been out nearly 12 months, then you're going to need half a dozen games to get up to speed. You think when they break up in May, they have a couple of months off, and then pre-season, we have a 5-6 game pre-season. He's been out 11 months, so he's going to take some time, and we'll be patient with him.
So, moving forward, McCarthy, he's available again this weekend, but you have presented a selection dilemma with Basham slotting in at centre half and actually arguably showing his best form for United there.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think he's been outstanding when he has played centre half, but we have got Paddy available for the next few games, so he'll start there, and then we'll move Bash elsewhere if we need to.
Do you name a side for Fleetwood with Southampton in mind, as it were? Do you look at that and sort of have a think about who to make sure everybody's tip top for maybe the second game?
It's a difficult one because the Fleetwood game is more important. However, we have to have one eye on the Tuesday night game because there's some players who won't play in both. Physically, it's a big ask for them. So although we're going to pick our best side for Fleetwood to try and get the 3 points, if people are sort of doubts or niggles or anything, if the extra 3 days rest is going to help them, then we'll look at that.
Because it's also, I would imagine, just finally on this particular topic, a psychological thing as well. Yes, Saturday is more important, but Tuesday nights are more, it's more glamorous, isn't it? It's one that lots of people are looking forward to for a long time.
It is. And there's also the argument there's another, what, 75, 80 points to play for in the league. There's one shot at a League Cup semi-final. So in some ways, we want to have a go on Tuesday night and we want to be in with a shout.
McNulty the other day, how we've spoken before at various different intervals about him. And it was all about him developing his self as a striker and how he can best fit into the team. How near is he to being in your mind as a starter?
I don't think any of the strikers have pinned down that position yet and say, I'm going to start every week. But, we talked about MK Dons where he was rotating Grig and Afobe and stuff. And I think that's very much the approach that you have to take when we have so many games as well. So I don't think there's any one at the moment that you say is a natural starter. But Mark's right in there. He's in the mix with the others.
When we have spoken about his development, it's about working on various different things, and he is getting used to English football and he is a young player. Where's he at then, in your mind?
I think he's getting there. He's learning. You know, it's a long process. In some ways, if you played him every week, then he would learn quicker. But then we get the mistakes. We're under pressure to win every single game. And that's part of the problem, trying to blood youngsters at the same time as winning games as well. But Mark's coming on nicely. I think he looks a threat when he's on the pitch. Still needs to work harder for the team. And just be a bit more team aware of everything he does, and especially off the ball.
Because it's this always this clamour about somebody starting when they come in and do well, and he came on the other day and did well against Plymouth.
Yeah, of course, but you know, there's a few come on for a few games, do well. You know, we're looking over a 50-60 game season. Mark will play his fair share in that time. But also, when he started games at times, he's been disappointing. So there's also that aspect to look at.
Did what you saw last Saturday maybe give you food for thought? Because, again, it's something that the fans latch upon. There is, you know, you played a couple up front, latter stages, the game changed, it went well. Or does that make you think about maybe employing that kind of thing in the league?
Well, we played it all game. We went with two up all game. And first half, we weren't, I don't think, brilliant, and they had chances. Once you do change the formation, you lose control in the middle of the park, which happened even against Plymouth at times. And if the penalty had gone in, it might have been a different game. So whatever's necessary to win the game, if we can get two up there, we will. But whatever we think's best for the team.
Can I change tack now? Sammy Herpy has been quoted talking about Chris O'Grady and his future. And I'm paraphrasing here, but not really fully knowing from the player's point of view what's next for him. What's your understanding as to what Chris wants to do?
Well, we've got him until the 31st of Jan, we hope. There's a standard recall in after 28 days, which is the norm in these sorts of loans. But we're hoping to keep him until the end of the season.
Has that discussion been had yet, or is it too early?
Yeah, no, we asked at the time, and Brian said, well, you know, the position they're in, let's just see how we go in the next couple of months. But that's everybody's intention, we understand. But it all depends on, you know, developments, you know, if they get injuries and that sort of thing. We do exactly the same with the players we loan out to protect ourselves, you know, that we can have them back if we need them.
I suppose if he does well. If he doesn't, then you won't want to keep him anyway.
No. I think you know, we've seen enough of Chris over the last year or so to suggest we'd like to keep him. And you know, he'll settle down the next month or two back in Yorkshire. So hope that'll help him.
Because it's been a bit frustrating, hasn't it? He was here, and then all of a sudden the injury arrives, and he's had to spend a bit of time on the sidelines.
Yeah, well, that's one of those things in football, you know. He was so genuine; he wants to get out there, and even he felt it even in the first few minutes of the game. And then, you know, stayed on for 20 minutes or so. But, you know, we're not looking at one game or whatever. We're looking at, you know, the next 5 months.
What happens in January or what happens with O'Grady? It broadens it out a little bit in the terms of, in your mind right now, as you sit here a couple of weeks before Christmas, do you have your plans set in your head, as it were, and all worked out?
Oh, we've got we've got plenty of plans. We've got plenty of players we'd like to bring in, or a few players we'd like to bring in, and ones that would genuinely improve us. But getting those players is a different matter. And it's not down to finances or anything. It's clubs don't want to let good players go.
Do you have the budget set then? Is it as simple as saying, right, this in January we will have X to spend on however many?
Yeah, we've got a pretty good idea of that. And obviously cup results could affect that also up to the 3rd of January. We've got a quarter final to try and get through on Tuesday and then the cup on the 3rd of Jan, so that might affect it as well.
Is it a situation where it's just loans, or would you look at permanent, semi-permanent if you can?
Oh, both, either, whatever we can do. Whatever's right to get the player. There'll be some that we can't buy, the loans, you know, that are too expensive, or they're coming from, you know, better clubs, too high a price tag, and they don't want to commit to a League One side as well, which is understandable if they're coming from a higher league.
And I would imagine from your point of view it's about tweaks and sort of a little bits of adjustments rather than anything particular major.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we're not far away. We're in the top six. Come a long way in 12 months from the bottom six to the top six to be actually challenging for promotion. Semi-final along the way, now League Cup quarter-final, so I think we're having a bad time.
Terrible, isn't it? Do you look at outs then at this time? Because you've got the kids, or you've got some of the kids, and you've got some senior players who aren't playing either. It's quite a healthy-looking squad in certain areas. Do you look to get players out?
Yeah, I think there's a few, two or three, that can go out and play some football. So, yeah, that's already being addressed. We'll get working on that, I think, this month, really, with a view to doing something in January. And those lads are good lads, and, you know, they should be out playing football. It's not working out for them here at the moment, but that doesn't mean that they won't go somewhere else and do well.
No, I mean, I suppose the high profile too in that are Collins and Porter, aren't they? Not getting in right now. Are they two you want to see at least playing somewhere else for a short term?
Yeah, I think so. Once again, they're too good, I think, not to be playing football somewhere. And Stephen McGinn falls into that category as well. So we'll do everything we can to help.
I dare say we'll ask you this a bit nearer the time, but has a decision been made about Butler yet?
No, he's out at Doncaster and until I think the end of the year. So we'll speak to Doncaster in the next few weeks and see what their intentions are.
Final one on this particular strand. Do you know in your mind which areas just need a little bit of extra, somebody else to come in?
Yeah, I think pretty much all areas. Happy with the goalkeepers. I don't think there's any problem there. But I think, you know, one in each sort of area of the pitch wouldn't do us any harm at this stage. But they've got to be better than what we've got. We keep stressing that. There's no point in just bringing players in. You've referred to, we've got a good squad, we've got some good youngsters. Even if we don't think they're better than the youngsters, or just maybe a fraction better, we might as well play our youngsters and get them that experience.
So, Fleetwood then, as the next challenge. What do you make of them right now?
Very good at home. Very, very good side. And I think they're everything, they use everything in their favour. You know, there's not many people fancy going to Fleetwood. So, going to be as tough as any game that we've had. I think they're there or thereabouts, you know, looking to mount a challenge themselves for the top six. Had a good start to the season, and they've got players who can hurt you.
It is a situation where you look at their form, and it is markedly different, isn't it? It's not just a little inconsistency here and there. It's home form, and not really much on the road. Can you put your finger down to why?
No, there's a few clubs like that. They just, you know, because they just feel comfortable playing at home. I think when you've come up as well with the rise that they've had through the leagues. I think that's got to be based on a good home form and atmosphere and things like that, and players feeling comfortable playing. You know, there's no great expectations. One of the things, you know, we've got 19,000-20,000 in, and when things aren't going well, that's a different problem to have than when there's just a few thousand.
And it also makes life difficult for clubs like Sheffield United, because you're the ones that everyone wants to knock off the perch.
Exactly, and everybody, you know, it'll be a full house there. We sell out in the, you know, our away fans, and we'll probably sell double if we got the opportunity. So it's that sort of game. But that's one of the things we've got to deal with.
So in terms of style then, what sets Fleetwood up then? How do you assess them?
Well, they play sort of a one in the hole, a diamond, which causes, you know, not a lot of width. But I think the sorts of players they've got Evans, who runs from deep, and they've got Dobby as well, who proved himself, I think, in the Championship at least. So I just think they're a good, well-organised side.
For Sheffield United, things are simmering at the moment and bubbling. And we are, and I'm relaxing into clichés here, but everyone knows you can set yourself up over the next 5 weeks, can't you, with the volume of games that you've got. We're starting an important period here.
Yeah, we are. Christmas always is that, when there's a lot of points at stake in a short space of time. So, you know, we want to stay in that top six. We've missed an opportunity in the last few weeks with the home results to try and really put some pressure on the top two. But there's still time for that to happen in the second half of the season.
Because you would imagine the way, and this is anecdotal only, that things will continue to stay bunched up, really, up there.
Yeah, I think the top six is almost sort of pulling away a little bit at the moment. I wouldn't rule Peterborough out of coming back into that. Which isn't a bad thing. So we've had a chance to extend that in the last couple of weeks through a bit of misfortune and not good enough performances. We've missed out, but we've still got, we're not even 20 games yet.
Is that how you thought it might be? Because if you were looking in the summer, and again, perhaps based on attendances, maybe potential budgets of whoever, the Bristols of this world and Sheffield United, that's how you thought it might pan out?
Yeah, I thought Bristol City, we said before the season, were our tips to be thereabouts and favourites. And then Swindon and MK Dons have been building for a couple of seasons now to get teams up there to challenge. MK Dons have challenged for the last few years, and Swindon have got some good young players.
So back to Sheffield United, just finally then. Over the course of the last couple of weeks, and I personally haven't seen every match, one of the things that you've spoken about in post-game press conferences has been about great finishes after maybe the odd slow start. How or why has that crept in?
In terms of our second half performances, yeah, I'm not sure. You know, as sometimes that's one of the things we've talked about, the players, the need to go and get that first goal, and especially at home. And we've gone behind too many times. I think in all four of the games that we've missed out, Barnsley, Oldham, Notts County and MK Dons gone behind in them. So, and then when we don't go behind in the Rochdales and the Yeovils, you see a different, you know, crew, even, you know, in the Cup, you see a different result. So it's getting that balance between going for it and not conceding. But, you know, the teams that are having the odd shot against us is going in at the moment. Even if it's a corner or a free kick, we've got to do better to defend it. But it's a bit like Liverpool last night. People say, you know, why didn't they go for, you know, why didn't they play like they did in the last 15 minutes? You can't always do that in football.
No, but it is a balance, isn't it, between looking as though, well, not looking, but being more proactive without leaving yourself open.
That's it, and that's the balance that we're striving for at the moment. And it's difficult when you are, if you're keeping clean sheets, then you feel as though, yeah, we can go for it a bit more. But when we are conceding, you know, you're ever so cautious because you think one shot at the moment is going to end up in the back of our net, or one chance. So you tend to err on the side of caution in those circumstances.